Okay, good morning everyone.
Good morning.
If you haven't guessed already, today's been an all-age service. So we're going to do things slightly differently for this bit. I want to speak especially to the children this morning, but not only to the children, because Psalm 150 is for each and every one of us. But we're going to try and do some other things in this bit to keep the children and some of the adults engaged, possibly. We're going to split it in two as well. So we're going to do a first session, then we're going to sing. Sorry, I'm going to have to dash over there again. We're a bit short today, and then we'll do a second bit after. But we need the Lord's help, don't we, as we come to his word and as it's read. So let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the book of Psalms that we've been looking at. Thank you for this Psalm 150 that teaches us so much about who you are, what you've done, how we are to respond to you. And Father, we pray that you would help us now as we hear it read, as we listen to your word speak, that you would change us, that you would change our hearts. We pray, Lord, that those here who don't yet know you would see something of your greatness this morning. And we pray for those who've already become Christians, that you would help us to praise you more as a result of what we hear from your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. It's the end of the summer, isn't it? And I wonder how you're feeling as we head towards the end of the summer. Lots of you have been away. It's been an odd time over the summer with so many people on holiday. I wonder if you're feeling rested. I wonder if you're feeling relaxed after that lovely time, perhaps with family, perhaps on your own, as you've come to this summer season. Or are you crawling? Are you crawling towards September? Perhaps you're a parent that's had children at home for the whole of the summer holidays, and maybe you're just crawling towards September the 1st, or whenever they go back. Or perhaps you don't have children, and the summer with church stuff shutting down over the summer, lots of things kind of in the world as well shutting down, maybe you're craving that routine. You've missed having things to go to during the week, and you're crawling towards September as things restart in so many aspects of life. Well, we've seen in Psalms, the book of Psalms that we've been studying over the summer, that there have been times where the psalmist, the one who wrote the psalm, or the people who wrote the psalms, there have been times when they have been crawling through life. We had one last week. James took us through Psalm 73, didn't he? And in verse 2, Asaph, who wrote the psalm, his feet were slipping as he looked out to this world and saw people who don't love God, who don't believe in God, doing really well in life. And he's crawling through life because he can't understand what's going on. And we see that there's a change that happens in him through that psalm. But I wonder how the book of Psalms ends. Does it end with crawling towards the finish line? Or does it end in a different place? Well, we're looking at Psalm 150 today, which is the last psalm, and so the last of our series in Psalms as well. And what I want to try and show you this morning, that the book of Psalms doesn't end in crawling, but it ends in praise. It ends in praise. I'm going to read the psalm. I need some help this time. As I read it, I want you to count out loud every time you hear the word praise. So if you hear me say praise, say one, the next time two, and we'll see how many there are in the whole psalm. You ready? Children, you can do this too. Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and lyre. Praise him with tambourine and dancing. Praise him with the strings and pipe. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with the resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. 13, I count, so it's not 14. 13 times. There's only 6 verses the word praise comes up. Full throttle praise. This psalm is a psalm of praise. Now what we're going to do this morning is ask lots of questions. Children, do you get questions in school or in preschool? Does the teacher ask you questions? Well, we're going to look at some questions this morning. questions about Psalm 150. And they're actually written at the back wall. John's looking a bit scared now, and I've pointed in his direction. So I need some volunteers. Can someone go up and get, we just want the first one, which is what? Which is the grey one. Does someone want to go and get the grey one for me? Don't be shy. Thought you might need some tempting. For those who've helped volunteer today, I've got a little bit of a reward for you. So if you go and help me, Nathan's there already. Just the grey one, that's it. And bring it to the front. That's it. Thanks, Alice. Now, take one of those. And ask Mummy or Daddy, we can have it now or later. Good girl. What? Let's stick it on our board. What? The first question we're going to ask is what? What is praise? What is praise? This psalm is full of praise, but what is it? Now, for those of you with good memories, I came about a year ago to preach, and we looked at Psalm 148. And we looked at what praise means in Psalm 148. But that was a year ago. So I'm not expecting you necessarily to remember what we did. But have a think. Can anyone think about what praise might be? We'll try and think of some thoughts. What is praise? So I'm not sure doing good, but being thankful, I think, comes into it, yeah?
Saying how good or great somebody is.
Saying how good, John might remember from last year. I think John reads my sermon notes. This happens pretty much every time. I showed you this book last year, a guy called Christopher Ash, who's written a book on Psalms, and he's come up with, I think, what's the best definition I've come across. What is praise, boys and girls, and grown-ups? What is praise? Praise means two things. It means telling someone how good, beautiful, talented, or virtuous they are. And it means telling other people how good, beautiful, talented, or virtuous this person is. Praise is two things. It's telling someone that they're great, and it's telling other people that that person is great. And I think there's been quite a lot of praising going along across the country today. I brought, I couldn't find mine, but I brought Portia's GCSE certificates, or one of them. Lots of people up and down the country, they got GCSE certificates or results this week. They'd done some exams, some tests earlier in the summer, and on Thursday they were given the results. And I imagine that up and down the country, there were parents saying, or mums and dads saying to their children, "You've done really well, well done. You've done a great job with these exams." And then I'm sure they've been on the phone to Nana and Grandad and to uncles and aunts and saying, "Look, little Johnny, he's done brilliantly at his GCSEs." That's a little bit what, like, praise is. Saying to someone that they've done a great job, saying to someone that they're great, and then telling other people that they're great too. What is praise? It is telling someone they're great, telling other people that that person is great. What? Got another question. Who's going to be a volunteer for this time? I need this one. I need who? Yeah, go on then, Alice. Fionn, we need the orange one. That's it. Bring it up. Take one. Ask Mum and Dad. Don't spoil your lunch. So we've looked at what. Now we're going to look at who. Who does Psalm 150 say is worthy, deserves our praise? And actually, we look at the psalm, it says it all over the place. As often as it says the word praise, it says who to praise. So verse 1, praise, can you shout it out? The Lord, praise the Lord. Then the second bit of verse 1, praise God in his sanctuary. And then it goes on, praise him. And in every verse, praise him, praise him, praise him. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. What does Psalm 150 tell us, boys and girls, about who is to be praised? The Lord. God is to be praised. I wonder if your friends were listening to what you were saying, to who you talk about and what you talk about, who you praise, who would they say that you praise the most? What occupies what you're talking about to people all through the day and all through the week? Take Sarah, for example. Sarah is totally obsessed with Mo Salah. A footballer, I didn't know who it was until I asked someone. A footballer she's obsessed with. She watches every match that he's in. She watches highlights on YouTube of all the goals that he scored. She's read his autobiography, if he has one. She talks about him all the time. To her friends in school, to her colleagues in the workplace. She doesn't shut up about Mo Salah. She praises him day and night. I wonder if your friends would listen to who you talk about the most. Who would they say that you praise the most? Would it be a footballer? Would it be a musician? Would it be a celebrity? Would it be a thing? Would it be your phone? The latest app, the latest TikTok video or YouTube video that you've been watching? Or would it be our children? As we spend time with friends and family, do we never not talk about anything except our children? Or I wonder whether actually it's us. As we spend time with people, what occupies our speech? Who do we talk about the most? Well, Psalm 150 says there's one person that's worth talking about the most. There's one person who is worthy, who deserves all our praise. And who is it? God. The Lord. So we've looked at what. What is praise? Someone tell me what praise is. Telling someone that they're great and telling other people that they're great. Who does Psalm 150 tell us that we should praise? The Lord, God. Need another one. We're going to look at why very briefly. Yes, Blake's got his hand up already. Go and get the blue one with why on it, please, Blake. That's it. Bring it to the front. Oh, look at that. And then take one of the chocolates and then ask Mum whether you can have it now or later. Thanks, Blake. We looked at what. We looked at who. We're going to look at why now. The psalm doesn't actually tell us much about why. It gives us two very, very short reasons. In verse 2, praise him for his acts of power and praise him for his surpassing greatness. Two really short reasons why God is worthy, deserves to be told that he's great, and for us, and for people to tell other people that God is great. His acts of power, what he's done, and his surpassing greatness, what he's like, who he is in his person. We don't get any more details in this psalm. Why? Well, because Psalm 150 comes at the end of the book of Psalms, and the last 149 psalms have been telling us how great God is by what he's done, and how great God is in his person, what he's like. And so there are tons of reasons that have already come. And so this sums up, why does God deserve our praise? Because of what he's done. And because he is great in his person, what he's like. I wonder whether that's your view of God this morning. Is that your view of God? Do you think that God is great? I've got a friend called Lewis. He wasn't brought up in a Christian family. He had some contact with Christians when he was growing up. And then he's had some Christian friends over the years, and he ended up marrying someone whose father was a vicar in England. So he's kind of come across things about Christianity. He's read a little bit of the Bible. But if he gave God a verdict, if he scored God out of 10, do you know what number you'd give him? Probably 1 out of 10. He kind of likes a little bit about what the Bible says about how people should live, the morality part of it. But he doesn't really like a lot of what the Bible says about God. Some of the things that God has done, he really doesn't like. And so as he puts his verdict on God, 1 out of 10. I wonder if that's you here this morning. You're hearing me at the front telling you that God is great, and you just think, I don't think he is. Do you know the best thing that you and Lewis, my friend, could do? It would be to find out more. Because the whole book of Psalms has just been explaining how God really is great. He has done great things, and he is great in his very person. And I wonder whether Lewis just hasn't really understood who God is. He hasn't taken the time to really consider what the Bible says about him. And so the best thing you could do this morning, if your verdict of God is 1 out of 10, would be to find out more about who he says he is in the pages of his word in the Bible. And maybe that's getting someone to read it to you or with you, and there are plenty here in the church family who would love to do that with you. All you need to do is ask. Or maybe you already are a Christian. Maybe you've been a Christian for a few years, and yet you do think God is great. He saved you. He's done wonderful things for you. But actually, if you scored him out of 10, you'd still be like maybe 5 out of 10. 6 out of 10 are some things that you really don't think are very great about him. Do you know, the more you dig down into what God says about himself in the Bible, the bigger your view of him will become. The more you find out about what God has done and what he is like, the bigger you'll see him to be. There's a guy called Anselm who lived a long time ago, and he said this. I'm going to say it, and then I'm going to explain what he means, because he uses some long words and some confusing words. He says this: God is a being than which none greater can be conceived. God is a being than which none greater can be conceived. Oshan is looking very confused. Let me explain it. What's he saying? He's saying that we can't even think of a God that is bigger, that is better, that is stronger than God actually is. We haven't even got the imagination to think of a God that is greater than our God. That's what Anselm says, and I think he's right. So we looked at Psalm 150. We looked at what praise? What is praise? Oh, come on, guys. What is praise? That was lots of murmuring. I'm sure you've all got it right. Who does this psalm say deserves our praise? God does. Why? He's done great things, and he is great in his person. Well, we're going to sing to that great God now as I head over to play. How great thou art, a good old hymn that talks about the greatness of God. Give me a sec and we'll then come back for the second bit. Okay, so we've looked at what, haven't we? What is praise? We've looked at who is to be praised from the psalm. We've looked at why God is to be praised. I need one more volunteer to get the last question up the back. Who's going to get it for me? Yeah, go on then, unless one of the grown-ups wants to. I mean, your chance to get a chocolate. Thanks, Gethin.
Go and ask Mummy if you can have it.
Now or later. Okay, how? How does Psalm 150 say that people are to praise God? Now I need some more volunteers, some more help, because you might have noticed there are lots of different pictures all around the church building. So I want you to go and find them and then bring them to the front, and then we're going to stick them round. How? So there are lots of them. Go and find them. They've picked up and stuck up lots of places. And adults, yes, if you get one, you can get chocolate too. And stick them up on the boards. Next to how, next to the green one. That's it. You can pick them up. And if you haven't had a chocolate yet, come and get one. Thank you, Emmy. Yeah, it's only just around this room. Thanks, Rosie. Lots of different instruments. You can stick them up.
There you go, Teddy. Take one. Good boy.
Ooh. Need the heart back. Thank you. I'm going to swap it for you. Lots and lots of different instruments. Yeah, you can go on. Ask Mum though before you eat it. That's it. Do you guys get one? Go on then. But how? The how. Psalm 150 saying something about how we're to praise the Lord. And can you see there are so many different...
Go on then, Karis.
Oh, she managed to get two as well. Lots of different instruments being used about how this psalm tells us to praise the Lord. So we have it. Let's read through from verses 3. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. This is what the trumpet would have looked at originally, a bit like a ram's horn. With the sounding of the trumpet, praise him with a harp. Here's a harp and a lyre. Praise him with a tambourine. Lots of tambourines. No tambourines. Tambourines, there we go. Tambourines being used in this psalm as well. With dancing as well. Praise him with the strings. There's a violin somewhere there. Praise him with the pipe. That was the best thing I had for a pipe. I don't actually know what it would look like. And then the cymbals, this clash of cymbals. Praise him with the resounding cymbals. Lots of different instruments. But I don't think the point that they're trying to make, that the psalmist is trying to make in this psalm, is not what instruments to use when we're praising the Lord, but it's something about the energy, something about the enthusiasm, something about the volume. Now, Who's still got instruments out there? Any of the children, you've still got your tambourines? Do you want to come and get your tambourines again? Because I want to try and show something. Who wants a tambourine or a drum? That's it? Yeah, you keep going, take it back in the desk. Now, if you're a little hard of hearing or that volume is an issue, I do suggest you might cover your ears for this bit. Because I just want to give us for 5 seconds to use our instruments as loudly as we can, okay? Just for 5 seconds, so cover your ears if you're not a fan of volume. So I'm going to count down and do it as loudly as you can. So 5, play your instrument. 4, 3, 2, 1, and stop. Thank you, Julie. Okay, now you can put your instruments down. I think this psalm is saying something about the energy, the enthusiasm, and the volume that's meant to be used when people praise the Lord. Have you ever heard a trumpet? Have you ever heard a trumpet being played quietly? Have you ever heard a drum being played quietly? Or cymbals? I know they start quiet, but when they start, they get louder, don't they? And I think this psalm is saying something about how we are to praise the Lord with enthusiasm, with energy, with volume, with everything that we have. I think we've got a lot to learn from some Christians from kind of different walks of life, some Pentecostal brothers and sisters who feel their music so much more, or Christians from black majority churches who feel that music, feel the as they praise the Lord. I think we're okay in Wales with our volume, aren't we? We're good at getting the volume of our song singing up. But do we have the energy, the enthusiasm in our praise? Okay, we've looked at what, we've looked at who, we've looked at why, we've looked at how. One more thing, very briefly, on another who. You see, this was who is to be praised, but the psalm tells us also something about who is to praise. Who is to praise the Lord? And we get it in verse 6. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Now, I want you to chat to the person next to you just for a moment and to think about all the things you can think of that have breath, all the things that breathe. Maybe you can think of some names of people that breathe or your favourite animals. Have a think. Chat to the person next to you and then we're going to shout them out. What things breathe? Together, as we've looked at all these questions, well, what does Psalm 150 tell us this morning? Well, we can start with this. It says to praise the Lord, to praise the Lord with everything you've got, because of what God has done, and because what God is like, who he is. Praise the Lord with everything you've got, with all that energy, enthusiasm, volume. Why? Because of what he's done and because of who he is, what he is like. But I think we can do a bit better than that, can't we? Because back at the beginning of the summer, we looked at this overview of Psalms, didn't we? Look at that overview. And when we see praise Psalms, they're doing two things, aren't they? They're showing us that, yes, God is worthy of our praise. He deserves all our praise. But praise Psalms do something else. They show us that we don't praise God. That we don't praise God with that enthusiasm, with that energy, with that volume that he deserves. Two things. Showing that God deserves our praise, but showing that we just don't. We don't praise him as we should. But praise Psalms do something else. They point us to the fact that we can't do it ourselves, but they point us to the one who does praise God. Point us to the one who praises God perfectly, who always praises God with the energy, with the enthusiasm, with the volume that Psalm 150 shows that God deserves. Praise Psalms like Psalm 150 point us to the Lord Jesus. So to put this psalm into practice, it's not so much thinking, oh boy, I've got to try harder to praise God. No. It points us to Jesus, the one who does praise God, and it invites us to join in with him, to rely on his praises on our behalf, but to nonetheless join in with this praise of enthusiasm, of energy, of volume to the Lord. He's done it perfectly on our behalf, and we put this into practice as we come through him. Through him who's the one who brings God to us. So we can do better than praise the Lord. We can say praise the Lord in Jesus. With everything you've got. Because God has done great things. And he is great in his person. But just as we finish, there's one more thing that I want to share with you. You see, there's a reason why Psalm 150 comes at the end of the book of Psalms. This psalm of praise. The book of Psalms ends in praise. Because one way or another, all of our lives will end in praise. How do I know that? Because God's promised it. In Philippians chapter 2, he talks about Jesus. And he says that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You see, there's coming a sounding of the trumpet, a different sounding of the trumpet that will signal Jesus coming back. Do you know that Jesus is coming back one day? And this psalm invites us to praise God, but to praise him now, in Jesus, and enjoy all the blessings of being part of God's people. To praise him as our Saviour, who's given himself for us on the cross. To praise him as our Lord, and to do it now. Because there's coming a day when the trumpet will sound, and if you wait until it's too late, you won't praise God as your Saviour. You won't praise him as your Lord, but you'll praise him as your judge. And so Psalm 150 invites us to praise him now. Praise him now in Jesus, because God is great. He's done great things, and he is great in his person. Will you do that this morning? Will you come through Jesus and praise him for who he is and what he has done? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these psalms. We thank you for each and every one of them, and in particular the ones we've looked at this summer. Father, we pray that you would keep teaching us from these wonderful songs and poems and prayers. And Father, we thank you for this psalm of praise at the end. Thank you that you are a God who is worthy of all our praise with every bit of energy that we have. And Lord, we know that we don't do it as we ought, but we thank you so much for the Lord Jesus. Thank you that we can stand in him, we can join in his praise, in his songs, because of what he has done for us. We pray that you would help us to do that this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Over to you.